Thank you very much, sir, and good morning, everyone. Brethren, so far the feast has been great. The messages have been wonderful. God has not disappointed us when he promised us, brethren, that he will provide for us a feast of five things. Physically and spiritually, brethren, so far we have been fed. Brethren, I did not do anything to make me worthy of being in your company, except that I responded to the gospel, the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom of God. And brethren, I am so thankful for those who have sacrificed, those who have endured, those who have chosen to obey God in regards to the preaching of the gospel. Brethren, it is through the gospel that we have been saved from the penalty of death, through the finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross. Not only has God saved us, brethren, but he has done it in fine style, as it were. In addition to being saved from the penalty of our sins, he has made us his ambassadors here on earth. Consider what that means, brethren. We are a people chosen to steward the love and grace and the power of God, the link, as it were, between heaven and earth. He has made us his begotten children, and brethren, he is offering us a kingdom that will make a difference. A kingdom that will bring to an end the unholy rule of Satan, the devil. A very hard taskmaster. Once you are captured, arrested, he incarcerated us, brethren. So we follow him without question. But God sent Jesus Christ into the world to deliver us from whatever the devil has imposed upon us. And as the scripture said, while we were dead in trespasses and sins, Jesus Christ died. And now, brethren, he is alive and is in the holy sanctuary, interceding on behalf of you and me. From thence, we have the assurance that our entrance into the kingdom of God is not hid and missed, because Jesus Christ is able to save to the utmost those who come to God by him. Brethren, aren't we privileged? The feast that we are now celebrating was put up, constituted, if you will, on behalf of the children of the Most High. tailor-made for us, being physical, God has made it possible for us to be able to relate to the spiritual. Our destiny is to become born children of God. Now he's giving us a dry run, if you will. We have the Spirit of God. And the feast gives us a glimpse on the physical plane of what we are destined to inherit in the kingdom of God. Brethren, are you excited? Are you filled with zeal? Are you being lifted up by keeping the Feast of Tabernacles? God expects us to be enthusiastic, to be excited, to be passionate, to be appreciative of all that is doing for us. He does not expect to be nonchalant. He expects his gifts and his blessings and his promises to be appreciated. I remember once a gentleman gave me a suit. And it was a suit I didn't like and consequently didn't wear. I should have been truthful and honest and say I don't want this suit yet. But he took note of the fact that I wasn't wearing this suit. And one day I heard him saying to somebody in my presence, I don't really like when I give people things, articles of clothing, and they don't wear it. I kept quiet, I didn't say God expects a zealous response, brethren. And sometimes the response that God receives from his people can be a little bit underwhelming. Take Moses for an example. God was preparing to bring the children of Israel out of bondage. What can be more exciting than that? Of all the people in the world he could have chosen to do the job, he called Moses. And he said, look, Moses, I have heard the cries of the children of Israel. I have seen their burdens. I am fully aware of the hard work of the taskmasters. This is time for freedom. This is a time when I am prepared to rescue them. I want you, Moses, to go down and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. I want to bring them out of bondage. I want to bring them into freedom. I am going to bring them in the land of the Canaanites, the Amalekites, the Jebusites, and all those people. God said, I'm going to overthrow their kingdom. We want a new kingdom. And Moses, I want to be a chief instrument in bringing that about. Moses started to ask, well, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? all of a sudden, Pharaoh becomes this great and powerful king that he cannot face. God encouraged him. He said, I will be with you. I will ensure that the mission is successful. So, in spite of your protestation, I'm expecting you to go. Moses said, Lord, I am not eloquent. I am not a good speaker. God said, who made man's mouth? I made man's mouth, and if I said I'm going to be with you, I will be with you. Moses, unfortunately, was not the only one to be a little bit diffident and unenthusiastic about the mission God has given to him. We had the same problem with Gideon. Same problem with Saul. Jeremiah. All unenthusiastic about the mission. Consider the mission, brethren. People are suffering. People are groaning. People are praying. People are complaining. God has decided to bring an end to that oppression. It's interesting that Moses, when he himself wanted to be a deliverer or a revolutionary or a freedom fighter, went out and saw two of his brothers fighting. He simply killed the oppressor. Nothing like being afraid. He thought he was up to the job. The end result, brethren, is that God had to convince his chosen vessels that he did not expect them to accomplish anything in their own strength. Brethren, we as the children of God are not expected to accomplish anything regarding our mission in our own strength. If God say, go and preach the gospel, he is standing behind that command. The only thing that can prevent and stop our success is if we sit back and do nothing, cower in fear, neglecting to exercise faith and a belief in God, that what he said, not only is he able to do, but that he will. Now, brethren, God expects us to learn from the examples I just talked about here. But let's take a look at one servant of God. His response. When faced with the requirement to be zealous and passionate in standing up and defending God's interests and the integrity of his people. Let's see what he did. Let's turn to 1 Samuel 17. 17, then Jesse said to his son David, take now for your brothers an ephah of this dry grain and these 10 loaves. Run to your brothers at the camp and carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their 1,000. Brethren, this had to do when Israel faced off with the Philistines in war. David's brothers were soldiers. David was a shepherd. Let's see verse 26. Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done? And this is speaking of Goliath. For the man who kills this Philistine and take away from the reproach from Israel. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And people answered him in this manner, saying, so shall it be done for the man who kills him. Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and his anger was aroused against David, and he said, why do you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. Makes you wonder what was wrong with coming down to see the battle. First of all, now when the words that David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight the Philistine. Saul said to David, you are not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he is a man of war. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it, struck him, and delivered the lamb from his mouth. This is the kind of faith and passion that David displayed. It was not even his fight to begin with. They were soldiers. But brethren, the soldiers were trembling. David decided that I am going to stand in the gap. I am going to defend the interests of God and God's people. Brethren, he did it without fear. You and I, brethren, have been called into the church of God. We are God's representatives here on earth. Are we prepared to stand up for God's interest? How can we do that, brethren? Are we prepared to see God on behalf of his people? There was a time when Israel asked for a king, and it displeased Samuel very much. But he said, God forbid that I should cease to pray for you, because it has pleased God to make you his people. Brethren, all of us are brothers and sisters. And we should take seriously the interests of one another. We should stand up for each other, encourage each other, be concerned about the well-being of each other. Let's say at this peace, brethren. are some full and others hungry. We will take the time out to figure out what is going on in each other's life. Brethren, people can be lonely in a crowd. And we need to demonstrate to each other the value of keeping God's feast. Demonstrate the reasons why God has given His Spirit to us. Brethren, we live in a world that is temporary, and sometimes it gets very hard. David took his responsibilities very seriously. He was passionate. He was zealous. Let's see what he said in Psalm chapter 42 here. And this is encouragement for us, brethren. This is what he said, brethren. And this should serve as an encouragement and a pattern as to how we relate to God, how we worship Him. He said, as the deer pants for the water brooks, as the deer yearns for the water brook, so pants or yearn my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, within a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast, that kept the holy day, brethren. David was about his father's business. We are here privileged to be keeping the Feast of Tabernacles. Brethren, rejoicing is a commanded element of these feasts. God commands us to rejoice before Him with our families and with our brethren. Brethren, are we excited about God's feast? About God's way? About the worship of God, brethren? It is very important. Why do we need to be passionate, brethren? Why is it important for us to be enthusiastic? Brethren, the fact is that if we want something badly enough, we will go after. If we're hungry, brethren, we'll go to the fridge or to the farm Brethren, you need to cultivate a spiritual appetite, like we have a physical appetite. Jesus Christ said, "He that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled." Spiritual things, brethren, need to be like food for us in the physical. Remember when Jesus Christ was waiting on the Samaritan woman to return after this great prospect of preaching the gospel, of giving living water to this woman. He sat by the well and his disciples came. He had gone to get physical food. And now they are urging him to eat. And he said to them, "I have food that you do not know about. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." Brethren, we have been brought to God through Jesus Christ. All the things that he endured, the things that he suffered, had to do with our calling. Scripture said, "For the joy that was set before him." The joy. Brethren, think about what happened when your first child was born. I can't help but remember when my friend Rick Dubler's first grandchild was born. Joy was written all over it, brethren. We need to take a special interest, zealously, for what God is doing through us. How many people live in Toronto, Kitchener, and the other places from which we have come, brethren? How many of us are here? They don't even have the desire to be at God's feast. As a matter of fact, they don't even know God has brought us here and has placed us together in an atmosphere where he can lavish on us his blessings. People are here from Nova Scotia. They are excited about what God is doing. Brethren, let us cultivate an attitude, a hunger and a thirst for what God is doing through us. Let's not become weary in well-being. Let us develop an excitement about what God is doing. Yesterday, I got a picture of excitement right in this room. I watched my brother Jan leading songs, and from he said he was going to announce his second song, I said to the person beside me, "Turn to number 265. And when my brother started, it was almost like he was sinking his teeth into the song. He was so excited. Brethren, that's a picture of what we should emulate. Being the children of God, we are no ordinary. We have been made willing, we have been persuaded to give up school, our jobs, and all the things that are considered important in the world We are here, brethren, because we believe that a new government is coming that will change the situation that we have in the world and that will make a difference. Not only is it coming, but we are intricately involved in that. We will be rulers with Jesus Christ. So, brethren, I'm going to implore you, give you a few pointers as to how to develop the enthusiasm that God expects. If you find yourself a little bit flat, brethren, keep, first of all, recognize the importance of the mission that we have. It's not a simple mission. The entire universe depends on our success. Keep company with people who are hungry for God. If you find yourself not being enthusiastic, a little bit flat on the prayer and the Bible study, and the closeness to God, keep company with people who are hungry for God. That will change the conversation. And if the conversation changes, brethren, so will the disposition. Of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Gossip can be contagious. So does praise and positive speech. Brethren, another point, be thankful for what God has done for you. In all things, it said by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests be known unto God. Sharpen your vision of God's kingdom. Let's turn to Hebrews 11:13. And breaking in the middle of the thought you heard, and it said, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them. That's by faith, brethren. The promises that God has given to you and me. We might not be around when Jesus Christ returns, but we have the substance of things old from. We have the assurance, brethren. They were assured of them, and they embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they who say so things declare plainly that they see the whole land, that truly a kingdom, brethren. And truly if they had called to mind that country from which they had come, they would have had the opportunity to return. Brethren, that's our quest, the kingdom of God. Let's see what Jesus Christ said about seed in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. and to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish, and this is Jesus Christ speaking, that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Brethren, God the Father and Jesus Christ, whatever they're doing, it's being done with excitement. As it says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross and he despised the shame. So should we, brethren. We must be our Father's children. We must express a preference and a desire for the things that he desires. And we must do it with zeal and with passion. Zeal, brethren, tells a story that what you are saying, indeed, you believe in it. You believe in the promises of God, the blessings of God, all that God has to offer. We are his voices on earth, brethren, to tell the world through the empowerment of God's faith that there is a God in the church of God. Brethren, let's turn in closing to Titus chapter 2. And verse 11. Says here, brethren, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live sober, righteous, and godly in the present age, looking for the appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Brethren, that's what the scripture says. Let us be zealous for good works. Let us endeavor to encourage one another, to provoke one another unto love and good works. Brethren, in our own strength, this is something we cannot accomplish. But Jesus Christ said, I will not leave you, and I will not forsake you. Thank you, brethren.